And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to reread these words from Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Old Testament reading. It's the Song of Moses, and these words, this whole letter, really, this whole book of Deuteronomy, spoken to prepare God's people for entrance into the promised land. But we hear this sad testimony of God's people. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free. He will say, "Now where are their gods? The rock they took refuge in. The gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up to help you. Let them give you shelter. See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand." And here ends these words. Power for the powerless. And we certainly, in our sinful condition, separated from God, are nothing but powerless. You know, it's really sad at the beginning of this chapter in Deuteronomy, introducing this section, God refers to his people with these words, crooked and twisted. What do you think about that? Crooked and twisted. And I think those are harsh words. And why would God choose to continue to love those that are crooked and twisted? I think of Adam and Eve. God could have just closed the book at that point, warned them not to eat of that forbidden fruit. If they eat of it, they will surely die. Adam and Eve, created perfect, knew perfectly well God's will for them, and they are the only human beings on this earth, apart from Christ, who were capable of fulfilling God's law because they had never sinned. And yet, even in their condition, they chose to turn away from God and to listen to the serpent, to listen to Satan. Crooked and twisted. And then we think of the flood. You know, God was grieved for creating man. And to the point he decided, I'm going to wipe it all out. And of course, God made this promise, didn't he, to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman, the Messiah. And praise God that there was this family, Noah and his family, who still believed and trusted in God, a very small church before the flood came. And all humankind, apart from them, destroyed on this earth. But God preserved them. And even in their sin, they were crooked and they were twisted. And then we think about the deliverance out of Egypt. I mean, here God's people had been in slavery. Their kids are being killed by the Egyptians. And God intervenes again with his compassion. And he delivers them out of Egypt with the plagues, the most miraculous way, isn't it? And even parts the Red Sea, and they're there as witnesses, and they see all of this powerful nation's powerful army drowned in the sea, and God delivers his people on the other side. And it doesn't take very long, does it? Before they're already running after other gods. They're already melting down their jewelry. They're already making idols that they can worship. They're already turning away from God, who in such an incredible, dramatic, visible way showed them his intervention and his compassion. Probably not much different with us, right? If we're honest. If you look in the mirror and of God's laws, as I try to do, we see all kinds of twisted and crookedness, don't we? In fact, we see death. Wages of sin is death. In Ephesians, God tells us we were formerly dead, meaning spiritually, cut off, separated from him. But God intervenes. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. And so he does, and so he has. And we are blessed today as we bring the palm branches in to celebrate with the church of old God's mercy, his vindication, declaring us blameless through his Son. And the cries, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, that comes right out of Psalm 118. And it's a messianic psalm. And that psalm was traditionally proclaimed at the Passover, looking with expectation to the Messiah coming. And here when Jesus enters Jerusalem this final time before he dies on Good Friday on that cross, what is the crowd shouting? They know who he is. They're acknowledging him for being the promised Messiah. And they cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And here he is in their very presence. And they are vindicated. They are delivered through the Lord's compassion. And we are blessed to make that same claim. But it's all by God's grace, isn't it? I love Martin Luther's words in the Small Catechism. I cannot by my own reason and strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Can't do it on our own. We are powerless. But God intervenes. He has intervened. Jesus has fulfilled the promise. He's died for the sins of all people. We are blessed to live in this time of grace. God's message of vindication and compassion goes out to the world. And it's through his voice, it's through the waters of baptism that this very day more are being saved. We also hear in the Catechism, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. What a blessing that we gather as God's people of faith this morning, that we can celebrate with the church of old, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who has almighty power, the one who shares it with the powerless, and in so doing has given us and empowered us with the gift of everlasting life. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.